All right, welcome to the Wolfpack Podcast. I am on minute one of a 15-hour flight to Taiwan, and this episode is all about Vietnam. Let's get to the show. All right, about 11 hours in to this first leg of the trip, and man, it's been bizarre, because as soon as we got on the airplane, which was literally, I think, 2.5 hours delayed. So we got on this plane at 3 a.m. and then like an hour into the flight, I realized that they immediately push you into a schedule as if you're already in your new time zone. So I don't know if I'm explaining that correctly, but what I'm trying to say is at 4 a.m., the flight attendants came down and handed me a chicken dinner because it was dinner time at our destination. And you know me, I don't say no to food, baby. So it was just strange. 4 a.m., chicken dinner, went to sleep. The last 11 hours have just been a blur. Something I don't ever, I guess I probably never had the opportunity to talk about, is I don't like a dark room. I like things to be well lit. And this plane has just been dark for 11 hours. I'm not going crazy, but I don't like it. I want some light up in here. All right, I better get out of this airplane bathroom so more people can go. All right, we'll see you in Taiwan. All right, we finally landed in Taiwan. And because our flight in Chicago was delayed by 3 hours, we obviously didn't make our flight in Taiwan on time, so now we have an 8-hour layover, 8 hours to walk around this airport, and it's all right. But one observation I did just make is that even though in this crowded airport I am the minority, I am so used to not being the minority that even when I am the minority, I do not feel super aware that I am the minority. Just kind of interesting. And I will say this, I'm not even sure if I'm making sense because I don't know what day it is. I don't know who I am anymore. I'm super tired. For me right now, it's, I don't know, almost 11 p.m. according to my body, because that's what it is in Wisconsin. But nope, here it's noon. All right, see ya. All right, so obviously been in Vietnam for several days now. Right now it's Saturday morning, and in the United States it would be Friday night, about 6:30 p.m. I just got done with a morning run, and that was something that really helped me this week when I couldn't sleep because of the time change and all that. I would, once it was light out, I would get up and I would run and then come home, and then I would be able to go back to sleep for like an hour before the rest of the day and just been handling the jet lag. Now, I don't know if it's jet lag, but the time change. Otherwise, it's been an incredible week. A few things that we were able to do. And I just want to be clear. I've been really chewing on how do I tell the story of this Vietnam trip without centering myself in it. And so I just want to pre-apologize if I say anything like I did this. So I'll just give the blanket statement. Everything that we were able to do this week, we did alongside and or just simply observed local leaders here doing these things. So I am not the hero of the story. I am just along for the ride in learning as much as I can from everybody. But we were able to visit a treatment center, and I was able to share some of my story there and just kind of observe how they do ministry and help people get clean from drugs and alcohol and introduce them to the love of God. We were able to visit a orphanage that had, I think, 130 children, and a lady that's with us, her name's Jen Hewitt. She's incredible. She was able to share a story with everyone here, or the kids there, like the story of Jesus providing for us. And that was an incredible experience. We went alongside some local people here as they delivered groceries to people in need in this fishing village. And then we've all done all sorts of other stuff. I spent most of my time in Saigon, or now I think it's technically now called Ho Chi Minh City. And man, it's been a real, I don't want to say eye-opener, but we just met some really incredible people. So tomorrow we fly home. Got, I think, like 18 hours of travel tomorrow, so we look forward to that. And more from Vietnam later. Thanks. All right, back home. I'm in the Wolfpack Mobile Studios. Actually, I'm in a loner Wolfpack Mobile Studios back in Wisconsin. And while I was in Vietnam, man, not only did the weather snap below zero, way below zero for the majority of the time that I was gone, so that made life tricky for my wife, Alyssa, who is home with our two boys alone, but then also her car died. And so she was stranded on the side of the road in sub-zero temps with two kids and a jiu-jitsu class to get my son to, which he inevitably ended up missing. So shout out to the people. I think it was Hannah Hainer who scooped my wife up off the side of the road and brought her home. And to Melissa Gardner, who brought my wife coffee because she was stranded at home, amongst other things, and was just generous with us that way. And shout out to, I don't know who brought my kid to school. My wife found somebody to bring him to school, which was, one of his classmates' moms. People just really came around and helped while I was gone. So all that being said, her car's at the shop, so she has the Wolfpack Mobile Studios, so I'm in this loner, which is a red Chevy Cobalt two-door. It's freezing rain outside, and I wish I were driving my truck. But here I am in this loner recording this close to the episode of the Wolfpack Podcast. And, man, Vietnam was just, it was just amazing. Shout out to my travel partners, Steve Tripp, Christian Miller, Jen Hewitt, and Ginny Tripp, and our guide and translator and taxi hailer and organizer Luan and her son Quai Thai. We got to meet, and I just want to put these names on record, people who I got to meet while we were there. Bin Min and Michael and a man named Happy and a missionary named Grant and a missionary named Tim. Yeah, I'll tell you, one of the cool experiences that we had was on the day before we left, we engaged this tour guide company called Exo Tours. And what they do is they give you a tour of Saigon on the back of a moped. And you get to see, and so every day, I mean, I think there's 13 million people that live in Ho Chi Minh City, and every day there's, I think millions of mopeds on the road. That's the primary mode of transportation. Way more mopeds, or motos as they call them, on the road than regular four-tire vehicles. And so there was us, full-grown American men and one American woman, on the back of these mopeds driven by these very small Vietnamese women touring through the city. And I mean, they are flying through the streets, weaving in and out of traffic. Just picture a traffic, like a fast moving traffic jam. That's an oxymoron, but it's like shoulder to shoulder packed streets, but they're still moving pretty quick. And so these drivers, I'm on the back of this moped, weaving in and out of traffic. Traffic laws don't really exist, but then they would zip into these alleyways that are also full of mopeds. And so they're weaving in and out of moped traffic in these alleyways. So it's these tight corners But then we would end up in this like hidden alley full of restaurants and shops, and we would stop and we would eat Vietnamese street food, and they would give us an education on the nightlife of Saigon. And then we ended up going up into this apartment building, actually built by U.S. and German engineers during the war. And we got to go into this woman's apartment and just sit on her living room floor and hear her story and learn about what day-to-day life is like for the Vietnamese people. And it was just incredible. It was just incredible. And my point is that was my moment. On the back of that moped, just seeing the city from that perspective, where, in the words of Chris D'Elia, I had the thought, life rips. I just was like, this is just an experience that I cannot believe that I get to have. I can't believe I get to be here on the back of this motorbike, thousands of miles away from home, on a beautiful January evening with my friends, learning a new culture and having that experience. I was so filled with gratitude. I was so filled with gratitude for my life. And I'm a person who I feel like I've been given so many second chances, second and third and fourth and 100th chances at life itself. But I mean, you can go all the way back to 15 or so years ago when I was spared from not only death, but layers beneath that. I was spared from felonies, and I was spared from injury, and I just, it's not that hard for me to be grateful and connect those things, where I just go, okay, there I was, 2004, committing crimes, committing felonies, and escaping by the skin of my teeth and not receiving the penalty that I probably deserved. Because the truth is if I had felonies, I wouldn't be able to get a passport. And if I couldn't get a passport, I never could have gone to Vietnam. And that's just one tiny little version of that story. Because there's a million other things that I get to do that I couldn't do if I had felonies on my record. Or, you know, we're dead. So all that to say, it was a trip of gratitude. And I can go to that place without going to Vietnam, truthfully. You know, I bought my son a Kobe Bryant jersey, and then I also bought him a Michael Jordan jersey, and I bought my other son a Michael Jordan jersey. I just thought, man, we're Milwaukee Bucks fans, but we're also fans of these two other players, just some of the all-time greats, and obviously Michael Jordan, the greatest of all time. And I like him wearing that jersey because of how did Kobe Bryant become great? What were the things that he did great? And then how can you emulate some of those things to be great in whatever path that you choose to walk? All that to say, to circle back around, is early this morning, I was out of bed very, very early for a run and some weightlifting. And my son, he was out of bed for like 2 minutes before he was in his Kobe Bryant jersey, down there hanging out with me and talking to me while I lifted weights, and that we have good talks in those times. And right there I said, oh, I'm so grateful to be alive. And so Vietnam was not a trip where I saw people living in small apartments, and so I'm grateful for my big house. It's not really about that. It was about meeting people. It was about serving in any way that I could. And it was about saying, okay, there's a certain simplicity to the way that people love one another there, where they just take what they are already doing and they use it as a bridge of relationship in order to connect with people and communicate love to them. And that's something that I can do and I want to continue to do in my city, in my context, every single day. Jesus' first disciples were fishermen. And there's this famous line that Jesus said where he looks at them while they're fishing and he says, hey, come and follow me and you will no longer be a fisherman, but you will be a fisher of men. And so Jesus didn't go around saying, I'll make you a fisher of men to tax collectors, or I will make you a fisher of men to physicians. He only said that line to fishermen. And here's my point. He takes what you already are wired to love. He takes what you're already good at and he says, hey, let me take that thing you're already interested in and use it for my mission to tell the world that I love them. And that's the path I'm on. To use what God has wired me to love as a way to build a bridge to others, to communicate to them that I love them, and that most importantly, they are the bullseye of the target of divine love. And I have some clarity on that right now, and it's good. Thank you for listening to this episode of the Wolfpack Podcast. My name is Tyler Wolf, and I appreciate you listening. We'll talk to you soon.